The light over Mersa Matruh Airport is doing that thing it does at the end of August, that honeyed, hazy gold that makes even the tarmac look soft. I'm sitting in the departures area again, not because I'm leaving, but because it's become a kind of anchor for me here. Day 5. It feels both like I just arrived and like I've always been here, and the airport, with its constant hum of European charters and families heading back to Cairo, is the perfect place to watch the town's two lives overlap. I've been thinking about time today, about how this town works on a completely different clock than the rest of Egypt. Inland, summer is something to survive, but here on the northwest coast, it's the whole point. Everything opens up in June and folds back down in September. I walked through the fish market this morning, and it was still that furious, efficient dance of ice and silver and shouting, but there was a different feel to it. People were talking about the season winding down, about the first cool nights, even though the sun was already brutal by 9. The air here is so much lighter than Cairo's. I keep saying that, but it's the thing that hits me every single time I step outside. It's the coolest summer daytime weather in Egypt, and it's not even close. I had a plate of koshari from a little place near the Corniche, Koshari El Kadwi, I think it was, and it cost me about £20, less than half a dollar. It's the same price as everywhere, but sitting there, with the sea breeze coming off the bay, it felt like the best meal I've had in weeks. I've been checking the news about the airport, too. There was an inspection tour a couple of weeks ago. The civil aviation minister came to push for more year-round domestic flights, not just the summer surge. They're talking about a new passenger terminal, a new operating license. You can see it happening, the town stretching itself, trying to be more than a seasonal destination. And you can see the strain too. The hotel prices are wild right now. A mid-range place like the Triumph White Sands or the Sapphire is running about 3,500 to 4,300 pounds a night for a standard room, around $85. In July and August, that's just what it costs. But the real economy, the one that doesn't show up in the holiday brochures, is in the side streets off Alexandria Street. That's where the life is. I spent the afternoon wandering the souk, Souk Libya, just soaking it in. The spice stalls are piled high with cumin and coriander, and the fabric sellers have these incredible bolts of colored cotton. But the real stars of Matruh, the things everyone comes here for, are the olives and the figs. This is one of Egypt's leading olive-producing regions, and the figs are in season right now. I bought a small basket of them, still warm from the sun, for next to nothing. They were so sweet they tasted like honey. It got me thinking about what this place actually is. It's a profoundly conservative corner of Egypt, dominated by the Alad Ali Bedouin Confederation, and it swells with tens of thousands of Egyptian holidaymakers every summer. There's a tension there between the old ways and the summer economy, between the fishing port and the beach resorts. But it seems to work. The fishing boats still go out every dawn, and the families still come to paddle in the shallows at Lido Beach. They share the same water, just different hours. Later, I walked back toward the old harbor. The wooden boats are being pulled up for the day, their hulls painted in those brilliant blues and greens that seem to be a coastal thing. I saw a group of men mending nets, their fingers moving with a speed born of a lifetime of practice. I thought about Rommel, about how he directed the Battle of El Alamein from a cave just down the coast, and how these same waters, this same relentless sun, witnessed that terrible machinery of war. It feels impossibly distant now, in the peace of a late August evening, but the museum's there, his maps and compass and photographs, a quiet monument to a time when this coast was a fortress. There's a part of me that's already planning the next move. The Mawlid is in 4 days, and the town is starting to buzz with a different kind of energy, a more religious, contemplative one. And after that, it's back to Cairo for the Citadel Festival. I've been looking at the lineup, and I'm hoping to catch one of the big nights before I head south. That's the plan for the autumn, you know. As the coast cools down and the desert becomes bearable, I'm going to follow the date harvest down through the western desert oases. Siwa is calling, and the Katara Depression, and all those tiny towns strung out along the old caravan routes. It's strange to be planning all of this while sitting in an airport that's mostly concerned with getting people to Prague or Milan or back to the capital. The charter flights, the ones from Europe, they're the ones that are apparently pushing for the upgrades. I'm told the airlines like Smartwings and Neos are bringing in a real surge of visitors. People who've discovered that this is the Egyptian coast where the water is clear and the summers are, well, survivable. For about £90, maybe $2, you can get a local beer in a bar on the Corniche and watch the sun go down. Try doing that in Sharm for that price. I find myself thinking about the practicalities of it all, too. If you're coming here, you need to know that there's no city transit card, no metro. It's microbuses and taxis, with Go Bus and West Delta and the railway for getting between cities. And if you stay more than 30 days, you have to register at the passport office, the Maslahat Al-Jawazit, right here in the governorate. It's a small thing, but it's the kind of detail that can derail a trip if you don't know it. Same with getting a SIM. You can't just grab one at the airport. You have to go into town to a Vodafone or Orange shop with your passport. It's a bit of a hassle, but the connection is good. Tonight, though, I'm not thinking about logistics. I'm sitting here, watching a group of Egyptian kids chase each other around the waiting area while their parents try to corral them into a line for a flight back to Cairo. Their summer is over. School starts soon. I wonder if they'll remember the color of the water at Ajaba Beach, the shock of that turquoise against the white cliffs. I hope so. That's the thing about this place, it stays with you. Even the name Ajaba means miracle, and it's not hard to see why they called it that. I had a coffee earlier at a little place called Remelbe Cafe, just watching the bay darken. A cappuccino was about £56, around a dollar. It's more than the Kosari, but it comes with a view that you can't put a price on. I was sitting there, and I remembered that this is the spot where Alexander the Great passed through on his way to Siwa, 2,300 years ago, and the main landmarks are still named after him and after Cleopatra. The layers of history here are so deep you could fall right through them. And now the sun has fully set, and the airport lights are coming on, that specific sodium orange glow that makes everything look like a film still. I'm not tired, not really. I'm just intensely aware that this leg of the journey is almost over. I've walked the fish market, I've climbed the cliffs at Ajaba, I've sat in the cave where Rommel planned a war, and I've eaten figs that tasted like the late summer sun. I've learned what it costs to live a simple day here, and it's precious little in money, but it's rich in everything else. There's a late flight coming in from somewhere over the Mediterranean, and I can feel the little thrill of it. The idea of people arriving for their first night, their first morning in this strange, beautiful, sleepy town. I'm jealous of them, in a way. They get to discover it all fresh. But I also know that I've discovered something different here, something about watching a place from the inside, about seeing it prepare to close up for the year. There's a value in that goodbye, too. So this is day 5 in Mersamatru, and I'm one step closer to the desert. The figs are gone, the coffee is cold, and the airport is quieting down for the night. Tomorrow, I'll figure out the next train, the next bus, the next leg of the journey south. But for now, I'm just going to sit here a little longer and let this place settle into my bones. Everything I've talked about, from the cheap Kosari to the airport upgrades, and where to sort out your SIM card, is in the episode notes. All in, and I'll talk to you from the road. The last call for flight to Alexandria echoes through the terminal, and I am not on it. Not yet. The autumn is coming, and I have dates to follow, and a desert to cross. But that's a story for another day.